Hello and happy Friday.
Aloha.
It is the Soapbox Boys coming at you a little earlier than usual. We both have to work today, so thought we'd knock it out. And so we're sitting here at 10 a.m. doing this. It's unusual. It's normally late afternoon, early evening when we record, so.
Yeah.
The sun is shining. It's a beautiful Friday. It's heating up, finally. Ugh. Yeah, I say finally like I was wanting it to heat up. That's not accurate. But it is getting pretty toasty. It's supposed to get up to maybe even 100 on Sunday this week.
It's supposed to be in the 90s today.
Yeah, like mid-90s today. And yeah. They're saying it might get up to over 100 on Sunday.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, good, summer. It's like, why? I don't understand.
It's still not full on summer yet because it's not 85 once the sun's been down for an hour.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is very, very true. In the summertime, it doesn't matter if the sun is up or not. It is just hot.
Yeah.
Period. It's just miserable 24/7. Yeah. Oh, good, summer. Ooh. Yeah. Everyone's all excited. Bizarre. What a bizarre place to live.
Yeah, man, people like beach. People like to...
People like sweltering heat.
And to find sand.
That's what people like. That's my only conclusion. Yeah. People like sweltering, miserable heat.
When you get a little older, you get cold all the time.
But these are, like, people are... Like, I've worked in offices with people our age. And people our age are... Everybody's excited about it.
What I hate about the summertime is... If you're in an office or a restaurant or anything, it's 10 degrees colder than it needs to be. And when you come in from outside, you're just instantly cold.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're sweating. You go from sweating to just like, oh, let me blow cold air on me.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, the sweating already is your body's way of cooling you down.
Yeah.
So if a restaurant was just like a normal temperature... Like 70 or whatever. Even 75 is like totally acceptable. When you walk in from 95 into 75, it's fantastic. But no, like restaurants will be like drop dead like 65. Like straight up.
They keep them really cold. I guess they have to with all the body heat coming through the door. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, how's your week been?
Week's been pretty good. We had the Gales had the hurling tournament. I saw one of my knuckles.
You did what?
I saw one of my knuckles.
Oh, that's
that was fun. what else did I do? I went to work. That was about it. After party was cool. Congratulations to the Charleston boys for winning the tournament. Got another one going to Raleigh in June. That'd be lovely. I think that was the first time all year that I've played in 90 degrees, and it was certainly hot. It was not as bad as I remember.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I think the last time I played, the last tournament I played in was in Atlanta, and that was truly awful.
Oh, yeah.
The low that day might have been like 96.
Well, and it's not just the heat, it's the humidity. The humidity is the death part of it.
Yeah.
Like, the humidity is what makes it where you just walk outside and you're like, there's death in the air. Like, it's just, it's intense.
But yeah, not a bad week. What'd you do this week?
I started a job this week, actually. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a good gig. I'm selling the basic gist of it is that I'm selling like cell phones and cell phone plans and stuff, prepaid stuff. So I don't check. I'm not one of these guys that's like, hey, let me check and see if you're due for an upgrade. I don't do that. Which I can't decide if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Cause that seems to me like a really great selling tool. Because if you're due for an upgrade, you're like, yeah, let's go, whatever. And that counts towards your sales.
Yeah, most people just do get it just because. You know.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that at all. I have no, like, you're either going to buy a new phone outright or not. Mm. Like, it's mainly the service plans that I'm, like, really trying to sell. And they do have, like, a financing thing.
Yeah.
But it's really weird. Like, it doesn't, I don't know.
Do you have to have, like, immaculate credit for it?
No, because supposedly it doesn't check your credit. It checks, like, your payment history on your actual either Straight Talk or whatever it is you've been using.
Oh, okay.
So, but, I mean, it's not weird. It's just, I when I say weird, I don't know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I still have to learn about it some more before I can, like, really confidently sell it. Because so far, I've seen a couple of phones sold through that program, and I don't really understand. Like, I don't really understand what has happened with those sales.
There's a training module for that.
Well, there is, and it won't work. that's one of the reasons I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
It's because it's broken. But I'll get it figured out, and I'm sure it'll be fine. But anyway, I feel like I may have a future in phone sales. I feel like what will probably end up happening is I'm probably going to get comfortable with it, and then eventually at some point I'll probably be working for Verizon or AT&T or a friend of ours, maybe going to T-Mobile as a manager, and so he's going to need some folks, and I may be going there at some point.
Okay. Good.
So, I don't know, man. I like technology a lot. Just as I like to sit around and just look at reviews of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's fun to me. Like, a lot of people think that's boring or weird or, like, awful or whatever. Like, my dad would like, blow his brains out. He couldn't sit there and watch reviews of technology. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's super fun. I don't know why I like it so much. But then once I know all about these various products, it's super fun to also communicate that to other people and, like, to make that information useful.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm looking for a laptop. Like, dude, I know about all of the laptops.
Yeah.
Like, what exactly do you need? What are you looking for? What are you going to use it for? And then it's just literally a fun hobby for me to help people like that. So if I could make money with that, doing that, it's even better.
Did you ever consider doing that for YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I still haven't ruled it out, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I still haven't ruled that out because, like, when I got this job, I went looking for reviews on a lot of the cell phones that we sell.
Uh-huh.
And what's different about the cell phones that we sell is that it's a lot of the, like, $100 cell phones.
Okay.
Like, they're $100. Period. Like, you walk in there, you buy it, you walk out, it's yours for $100.
Mm-hmm.
There's no payment plan or anything, you know?
Yeah.
So there are some that are like $50, there are some that are like $70, there's some that are like $100, $200, whatever. There's like a range of, like, quote unquote affordable cell phones that I know nothing about.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them. So I went looking for information, and I kid you not, the reviews on these things online are done by, like, kids or weird people. And I mean, really, really, I'm not being insensitive. Weird people. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this one guy. I wish I would have written down his thing so you can go look it up. But he's reviewed a whole bunch of these lower budget phones.
Yeah.
And he's like something Snake or something like that.
Okay.
And he sounds like this. Like, you'll like turn the video on.
Yeah.
There's no intro, no nothing. It's just green, ugly carpet. And then, like, his phone, his hand, his big fat hand, like, holding a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, has some kind of device to, like, hold the camera so that it's looking down.
Okay.
Then it's steady. He's not holding it with his other hand. So he's got it clamped somehow.
Okay.
And he's just talking, and he just goes, like, hey, Klingon, and DJ Snake, or whatever it is, DJ Snake, and I'm here with another review of this phone, and... Like, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm saying that's the caliber of information out there on these kind of phones.
Yeah. You know, I think I bought a phone that was at that level for, like, $27 one time.
That sounds about, I mean. That,
after I jumped in a pool.
That happens. That happens all the time. I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it, too. Like, in my early 20s, I had several phones like that.
Yeah.
I had a T-Mobile phone that was, like, a $40 phone that I used for a long time. It was, like, an Android, like, this just piece of junk. But they work. I mean, they work.
Oh, no, they do the phone thing.
Dude, it's a lot better than nothing. Yeah. It's a lot better than nothing.
I beg to differ, my good man.
Well, you're a special case. But no, I all that to say, like, I would love to just get like a white tabletop and some lighting.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have microphone already. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, my phone shoots what, 1080p video probably.
Right. Yeah, it should.
So I'll just like get another thing to like hold my phone. Unless, and then
you've got like 20 of those.
No, I mean like it has to be up.
Yeah.
It has to be up here. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you got to get another one.
What do you mean?
You have all sorts of phone clamps.
Yeah, but I mean, those are for like the car, and like that's not to hold it like above your head while you review things.
I know. I'm just saying, you got to get another one. It's okay. You like accessories.
Hey, man. Sometimes you need things that are specific, you know? But all I'm saying is, it would like, I could do it for like $20.
Yeah.
To where, be like, hey, this is, you know, whatever. And then just put up a little graphic of like, this is the phone specs, and this is, you know, whatever. And it would be 1,000 times better than anything that exists. Mm. And I could just run through, I mean, probably in about a week, I could run through all of these phones that are offered by Straight Talk, Total Wireless, you know, all the main, like the AT&T prepaid, Verizon prepaid, Sprint prepaid, all that kind of stuff. Like, roll through all those phones, and just put up this whole series of, like, you know, reviews.
Okay. Cool.
Easily. The problem is this, and the reason I haven't done it is this. I don't have any of those phones.
Mm, true, yeah.
I have to go buy all those phones.
That's right.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know how I would do that. Huh. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I guess I could just make one video reviewing, like, all of them. Or reviewing, like, the main, like, the different price ranges of them. Like, here's all the $20 phones. Here's all the $60 phones. Here's all the $100 phones. There's a lot of $100 phones, by the way.
Yeah.
There's, like, 3 or 4, like, $100 phones that are really solid. The guy I was working with this past couple of days actually uses one as his main phone, which I was absolutely floored by.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it because he works for a cell phone company. Like, we get all kinds of, you know,
like,
yeah,
that.
I don't want to go into it, but, like, there's no reason to have that phone other than he actually likes it and wants to use it and enjoys it, which, good for him, but, like, I was just floored.
I might go back to a simple phone.
Yeah?
Just have a phone that's a phone.
Yeah.
You know, my inner 55-year-old just coming out, and I'm like, that's not a phone, that's a supercomputer.
Your inner, like, hermit. You do have, like, a hermit living inside of you. Yeah. It's okay. That's nothing wrong with it. It's hilarious, but it's hilarious until I need to get a hold of you. And then it's no longer hilarious.
Hey, man. The dream is be out in the woods somewhere on the side of a mountain cooking with fire.
Oh, man.
Maybe get some bow hunting done.
Yeah. Fun fact. I don't know. Maybe this is common knowledge. Maybe I'm just an idiot. Did not know that marshmallows come from a thing called a marshmallow root.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a marshmallow root. It's actually, like, used in traditional Chinese medicine and, like, traditional, like, Far East medicine to help your stomach. Okay. Like, if you have, like, chronic stomach issues, they'll give you, like, a marshmallow root, and it's supposed to help your stomach, like, heal itself and repair itself.
Yeah.
And it does, whatever, have some properties. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not a doctor, but it's marshmallow root. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's what they make marshmallows out of.
Okay.
And I had no idea. And I said that to somebody. I was, like, talking to somebody about it, and they were like, yeah, marshmallow root. Where do you think marshmallows come from? And I was like,
okay.
I just thought they were Wait sugar. I just thought they were sugar puffs. I didn't.
No. I, like, that's, you can't do that to me. Are unicorns real too?
Yeah. So there's a fun fact for you. You wow your friends.
Marshmallow root.
Marshmallow root.
Yeah, I thought it was like cotton candy where they did something weird
with sugar. I just thought they did something to sugar. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's actually like a root. There's sugar in it as well, and like a marshmallow that you would buy in the store, obviously. Super sweet. But
I mean, my strawberry flavored marshmallows, I assume, don't come in a marshmallow root variety.
Yeah, no.
You know,
but Also, what's something that's supposed to be good for stomach is anise.
Yeah.
Which is, if you don't know, like licorice, basically.
Yeah.
Like star, star anise.
Star anise, yes.
Star anise. Yeah. Gordon Ramsay calls it star anise.
Anise,
and yes. It's permanently messed up in my mind now. Whenever I go to say the word, I'm like, I have to stop myself and be like, how do we say it in America?
I got a word. I got a couple words like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the way my stepmother said them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's supposed to be good for you. So I've got some supplements that have like those things in them.
Yeah.
And they really do seem to help me out, especially like I've gotten to where I don't take them every day now, but I will take them to, you know, several times a week. I'll take a big dose of them.
Yeah.
And it seems to keep everything a little happier than it otherwise is, because I have some issues. Like sometimes things just don't, it's not firing on all cylinders. So
that's okay.
Yeah
happened to the best of us,
and according to the doctor, nothing's wrong with me. So that's why I went out and found marshmallow root and stuff like that.
Marshmallow root.
Yeah, there you go. Seems to help a little bit. Maybe it's just in my head, who knows. Well, there's a lot of really serious, gnarly, nasty stories out there this week. And to be honest with you, I really don't want to talk about them because I feel like everybody's exhausted of it.
Really?
Yeah. It's the same stuff. It's Trump's tax returns. It's like...
What about the Theresa May story, you know?
Oh, true. Theresa May stepping down. Yeah. But even that's pretty divisive because it's like her whole mission the entire time that she's been prime minister, like her main...
Mm-hmm.
agenda was to get Britain out of the EU,
mm-hmm.
which in and of itself is a very divisive thing. It's like, because you like, from my understanding, which I don't live there and I don't know anything about it, but from my understanding, the main reason to do that is because they want to shut down all the borders, and they don't want people to be able to come back and forth from mainland Europe with just an EU passport.
Yeah.
That's the main reason.
A couple of Europeans that I've spoken to about that, it's not so much about the people come in, like regular average people, the average person just coming back and forth. It's that, the UK has had so much trouble with people coming over and just staying.
Yeah.
To the point where, it really is straining their social, all the social services that they have, because they do have a lot of things that like you can get for free over there,
right?
And they're saying that it's putting a strain on that stuff, and then also you have like these entire communities of foreign people that just exist there and nobody knows who's in there. You've got like the huge Muslim population there, you know, and like there's the whole terrorism scare tactic that's I guess being pushed over there.
Well, and there have been some incidents like bus bombings and stuff.
It's not completely unfounded, but They said that, like, they do a little bit of the fear, like the news networks do a little bit of the fear mongering.
Oh, of course they do. That's how they make money.
So that's why that like the people that support it are kind of
my thing is
it,
like,
you know,
is closing the border how you fix that?
Well, I mean they just I think at the end of the day they just want a little more control. It legislation might fix it, but it might not, you know. And I think Brexit is people's extreme version,
but like even
of border reform,
and I'm saying this legitimately. I legitimately don't know the answer to this. Would it be something that Britain could go to the EU about and say we'd like to close, or we would like maybe not to close our border, but we'd like we'd like to take a different tack, a different approach on our border and on folks staying in our country? I mean, is that something like what I'm saying is, does it require leaving the entire thing? Because it seems like, and again, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But it seems to me like the answer is like, absolutely not. It seems like something that you could absolutely work on. Because every country in the European Union is wildly different.
Yeah.
With all kinds of wildly different economies and trade and this, and like all kinds of stuff. And it seems like, you know, this is a very public issue, but there seems like, to me, lots of issues like this that they must have had to encounter with various countries and fix in various types of ways, and concessions that have had to have been made,
yeah,
and changes with various countries. Why not try that first? Like I'm unaware of anybody trying any of that kind of approach of like, let's see if we can fix the problem before we just throw the baby out with the bathwater completely. And jump out of the, because we're talking about, they're going to have to renegotiate trade completely with mainland Europe.
Work visas, all that stuff.
Work visas. I mean, it's going to, it's a massive, it's not just a massive deal. It is the deal. It is their whole economy, country. It's their whole lives. All are so intertwined with mainland Europe. It's like, why not just try first?
Well,
to see if you can fix it.
I'm speculating on your speculation, but I would imagine that something to that nature was addressed before. But since the EU is such a big entity, it probably does move slower than a traditional government moves at. And this is backlash, because it has that feel.
Yeah,
it really does.
Well, I think there's a lot of wisdom in the idea that you never make decisions out of fear. And this very much feels to me like a reactionary, fear-based campaign. Mm-hmm. It feels that way. When you watch the BBC, if you ever like watch BBC America and you watch their news broadcasts and things like this, and you see the protests and you see the signs they're carrying and stuff like that, it just feels very get the foreigners out, which is just in and of itself. It's like, it's not the right way to approach that. That's a fear-based thing, and you're never going to get good results. But there are problems. There are issues. And they do need to be addressed, but, like, you need to come at them from an objective point of view, and you need to just, like, take your – and it is going to take time. Dude. All that kind of stuff takes time. And I think that's one of those things where, like, people are always unwilling. There was a guy on Rogan here, I think it was yesterday, 2 days ago, talking about the drug wars in Mexico.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, it was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because he was a part of the Mexican police in, I think it was Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. I forget where he was. But anyway, he became one of these police officers thinking that he was just going to be a police officer. But it was probably, I think it was like 2004 when he became a police officer. Okay. And that was right after he became a police officer is when they like militarized all the entire police forces around Mexico. And like basically in a military style campaign went after the cartels.
Oh, wow.
So he got into a whole bunch of stuff that he didn't intend. Mm-hmm. Like he was just going to be like a beat cop. And then all of a sudden he's geared up like a Navy SEAL, like kicking down doors and
doing raids,
doing all kind. Well, and getting into massive firefights and like, you know, crazy stuff that like, and the stuff like we don't even hear about half the stuff that he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Just insane.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
Oh, it's really weird.
Yeah.
But his thing was that, you know, they get a new president, I think it's like every 5 years or so.
Okay.
And so every 6 years is like when the guy's actually like sworn in.
Yeah.
And he's like every 6 years, like the way that our politics works, they just absolutely scrap whatever playbook they were using against the cartels and against organized crime, et cetera, the massive, massive problems in the country. They just throw it out. And the new guy comes in with his playbook. And so every 6 years, they're basically restarting.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're never able to make any actual, real, meaningful, lasting progress. And it's just like, people are so ridiculously impatient. Like, even with various presidents. Like, I remember growing up and people being really upset at various presidents for various reasons. And I was just like, dude, he's been in office for 3 years. This is a country of, like, 300 million people, like, and massive industries and massive, like, stuff that you can't even fathom. Stuff that your brain isn't built for. And you want him to, like, really what people want is in a matter of weeks. They want the president to just fix everything.
Well, he's got to make an impression, like he's got to make an impact that affects my life directly,
dude.
And it's got to, and that impact better be better.
Yeah. Well, the scary thing about that is, throughout history, there have been leaders who have had the type of power where they can do things that affect your life directly, within 30 days, and you don't want a leader that has that kind of power.
Not
because
really.
Because he can, like, if he's a good leader,
yeah,
yay. But the second you get one that's bad, yeah, it's like, all right, we're gonna take all the Jews and kill them. we're gonna ship all of this type of person to this part of the country and put them in camps. Like,
yeah,
that's the kind of stuff that happens when, right, you have a leader that has that kind of power. So,
oh yeah, absolutely, make him go away.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, you get some Stalin type stuff, even where it's just like, oh, you don't like me? Okay, go kill him. Like, he's, you know.
Oh man, Stalin's a whole nother bag though. He was just like killing people. Just, you know, people need to die today,
dude. Yeah,
so crazy.
Well, and he was also like a root and stem guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy, he looked at me funny in a meeting.
Yeah.
So he must not be loyal to me.
Yeah.
So, take him out back and shoot him, and then go find his entire family.
Yep.
And kill them as well.
And the family dog and doctor.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh yeah. And I think that it's really valuable to have a country and a type of government where it takes a really long time for things to get done, and two different parties with two different agendas have to like battle it out and come to a compromise. Then it has to be signed into law by the president. And then even then, there's an entire judiciary system that has to, at some point, rule on it and determine the legality of it, and et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's actually a good thing. Because otherwise, you have Stalin rolling around just ripping the country to shreds, doing whatever he wants, which you don't want. Because eventually, I don't care how many good people you have in a row, eventually there's going to be a bad one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the absolute power absolutely corrupts? Something like that.
Yeah.
But people are impatient, man. People are impatient. I want it all, and I want it right now. But so I don't know what's going on over there, man. They still haven't reached an agreement. They keep getting extensions to not basically kick Britain out of the EU.
Yeah.
With no trade agreement and no you know, agreement for the rest of all the different things that are going to have to change. At some point, they're either going to have to take it back and be like, we're actually not going to leave.
Mm.
In which case, it feels like, not that there won't be any damage, but it feels like everything would be okay. And it would go back to, quote unquote, somewhat normal and whatever.
Mm.
But man, if there's not an agreement reached and Britain refuses to say, let us back in or whatever, they're just going to get ripped out of Europe at some point. Like one of these times, they're not going to extend the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to be ripped out like with a rusty spoon. And it's going to be gnarly, really gnarly.
It'd be interesting. Cause doesn't most of, like the stock trade and stuff like that, doesn't it go through London?
Yeah.
It is like the European stock market is London's stock market.
It would
market.
Blow it up. That's the problem. Yeah. It would blow it up so bad that it would actually affect us.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that, but that's what every economist always says. If that second option happens where they just get ripped out with no agreement, it'd be bad, globally bad. Mm. Really, really bad. I saw one guy online talking about it, and he had all these degrees and whatever, all these credentials,
mm-hmm.
economic credentials. And he's like, oh, it would be a global depression.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that.
He's
yeah.
like, and I'm not trying to be, and he even said, he's like, I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm not just trying to be sensational. Yeah. I'm not trying to like make a cool headline. He's like, I'm so serious. Mm-hmm. He's like, they've got to reach an agreement or they have to not do it. Those are the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those are the actual viable options. He's like, if they just get kicked out, he's like, it's going to be apocalyptic. I'm just like, whoa. Whoa.
I mean,
that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Like, you know, as much as the news wants you to think there's something really important happening all the time, like something on that scale hasn't happened in a good long time.
Well, I mean, there are like five or six like economies that like prop up the world. And that's one of them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. United States. I feel like one of the couple of United States, Germany, England, and then I feel like there's a really, really big one. Well, there's China. And then I feel like there's actually a pretty big one somewhere in South America. I feel like there's sort of like a big banking country. I forget if it's Brazil or Argentina, whatever it is.
I think it's Brazil.
Is it Brazil?
Yeah. Well, a lot, I think, kind of like the way it works in Asia.
Yeah.
Where like all the, like Korea, Japan, China all use the same one.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think, well, and part of it's banking.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of it's banking, because like one of the reasons that Germany is such a powerhouse in like, Germany, like why I said Germany's like one of the big powers that props up Europe, is Deutsche Bank. Mm. Deutsche Bank is literally like what finances half of the EU. Like when they took on all that Greek debt,
yeah,
like that was Deutsche Bank. That was like which is very closely tied to the German government,
mm-hmm.
and. Literally what happens with Deutsche Bank affects the euro. Like that's how intertwined Germany's economy is with Europe. And then you take that a step further. Where's the World Bank? London.
Yep.
That's where the World Bank is. To the best of my knowledge, unless I'm wrong, which I really don't think I am. But you cut that off.
Yeah.
You cut that off from the mainland. You cut that off from trade agreements and whatever. And it's like, stuff that we can't even comprehend is just going to start falling apart. And when that happens, you enter a recession. Global recession, apparently. I don't really know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just repeating, you know, even when guys debate this kind of stuff, they tend to seem to be debating the details. No one disagrees on the points of if they leave without an agreement,
yeah,
it's globally bad. Disastrous. So.
Huh.
Any fun news this week? Anything better going on?
The World Bank headquarters is in Washington, D.C.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a big branch of it in London.
They have to have branches everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a very, because I've read about it before, where they were, trying to get documents sent here, and they, you know, somebody was in trouble and they were having to ask for subpoena documents and stuff like that, and they were dealing with the British government because the bank was in London. So
their membership, I don't know what these, okay, there it is. International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, that membership is around is 189 countries. And then the International Development Association, that's 173 countries. I don't know why they split up their membership that way.
Huh.
But yeah, it's built around those two institutions. So.
Huh. Well, I feel bad for Theresa May going back to the original thing we got it, the reason we got into all this. I feel bad for her because, you know, I really am sure
mm-hmm.
that she's not an evil person. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
I'm really sure, like, she thought this was the right thing. She was doing what she thought was right. Like, if you watched, like, before she became prime minister, when you watched her on the floor of parliament, like, arguing for this kind of stuff, like, she really goes after it. And, like, there's even, I've even seen clips of her, like, almost coming to tears, like, talking about this kind of stuff, where she, like, she believes, like, she really believes that it's, the direction things need to go. So it's a bummer because you like you hate to see that. You hate to see somebody who really cared about their country. Like, she got choked up when she was giving her statement about leaving. She's like, it's been the honor of my life to serve the country that I love, basically, you know. And she's like, got choked up, and she just closed the book and just went back into 10 Downing Street or whatever that place is.
Yeah,
famous place.
Have you ever thought about the guts of that door?
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be pretty insane.
The knob is in the middle, and you're like,
well,
yeah.
I mean, it's survived quite a bit.
It has.
It's survived World War II, and then, like, Britain never gets a break. Like, World War II happens, and then lots of different other wars, and then right when you think everything's cool, nope, IRA, like, you know, like, the IRA has been trying to kill the British prime minister for 30 years, 40, you know, and they're not, they don't play around. Like, they'll bomb it. They'll bomb it. How many times they bombed?
I don't know, but weird fact. The IRA has never lost a confrontation.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. Yeah.
It's gnarly, man.
Well,
they didn't just tangle with regular police. They tangled with military police too.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. Well, that's a very technical declaration, because I know they've done retreats before. They've retreated before.
Yeah. Well, that's like George Washington, he didn't lose a battle after he surrendered at, what was it? Ah, man, I used to know this, but he did a lot of strategic retreats, you know, like, famously.
Right.
Like, there are paintings of it, all sorts of stuff, but he technically never lost a battle because he never surrendered, okay? And I guess that matters.
Is that how that works?
Yes.
You never surrender.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, the IRA guys feel so strongly about it, they'd rather die. They're never going to surrender.
If you die, you also lose, you know. That's how that works too.
No, because the IRA suffered massive casualties.
Well, they
so
I don't.
What I'm saying is, okay, let's say 50 guys on each side. It doesn't matter, like, if they lose 40 of them. Those 10 guys pull off a strategic retreat and don't surrender. It still doesn't count as a loss. Is that accurate? And let's say Britain loses 5 guys and the IRA loses 40.
I would certainly call that a loss, but I don't.
I think technically speaking, since those 10 guys just absolutely refused to surrender and so still pulled off, you know, getting away, it doesn't count as a defeat. I think that's how that works. I'm almost positive that's how that works.
Okay, hello.
As per usual, I could be wrong, but because otherwise, like, I know there have been battles where the IRA just got absolutely decimated, like, where, because the British just came in with overwhelming force and just crushed, like, a town where the IRA was.
The IRA was really good at not getting themselves into those confrontations.
I understand that. Uh-huh. I know it's happened because they've, like, literally have made movies about it, books about it. Like, the IRA has suffered tremendous losses in various battles and have been surrounded before. And, like, it's absolutely happened. So the concept that they have never, quote-unquote, lost a battle, I think has to be due to the fact they've never sued for peace of any kind. So never said, you know, surrender. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, they're gnarly. And so hence the door to, is it 10 Downing Street? I feel as though it's 10 Downing Street.
That sounds right, but
I know it's Downing Street. I just don't know what number it is.
I'm not British, so. It is.
10?
10 Downing Street.
Nailed it. But yeah, that whole place is super thick walls and super crazy security. Have you seen that show on Netflix called The Bodyguard?
No, I haven't. It's got
what's his face from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of that, and it was interesting because, I know it's just like a television show, and I know that it's probably not 100% accurate, but a lot of those television shows and movies and stuff like that, where they're portraying Secret Service and they're portraying security measures, really, they try to do their homework and they try to make it as real as possible.
Yeah.
And what was interesting was the differences between the way that, like, so the Secret Service has been portrayed in a lot of our media, and then what would basically be the equivalent of that on the British side. Mm-hmm. Of how they run things. And my favorite part of it is they call the guy who's in charge of the shift, mm-hmm, Skipper. And I don't know why I like that so much, but this is great. Like, he would always get in the car at the end of the night with this whole, like, gang of guys who were getting ready to transport him back to the headquarters or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'd look over at him, and he'd be, like, tired and stuff, and they'd be like, hey, Skip. how are things? How's it going? You know, they'll use some, like, cute British expression or whatever.
Cute British expression.
You know how they have all these little,
yeah,
these little ways of asking how your day is and stuff. I feel like we don't have that as much. I feel like we don't have, like, cool stuff in our daily speech as much as they do.
Yeah.
They have all these little ways of saying things that are just great.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch British television, you're just like, half of the time you don't even know what's going on. You're just like, what?
Yeah.
And then, like, episode by episode three, you're like, oh, you know what? I kind of get what that I get what you that means what now. That means. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Australia's the same way. Australia has all kinds of words for stuff that's just completely nonsense.
Do you use any of their slang?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. Because two reasons. Number one, you sound ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't sound ridiculous, you sound pretentious.
Okay.
Those are the only two categories that you can really fit into. Like, I don't even say, some guys say brilliant. Yeah. Like, I've heard you say, yeah, brilliant before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine. I don't mind it. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
I would never say that. I would just never say that. It's weird to me. It's like, that's not
ours. I've been saying brilliant since those stupid Guinness commercials
with
the heads.
Brilliant!
Brilliant!
Those are great commercials.
I love those commercials. I started using crack. Like, we're just, like, having the crack. Because I think it's hilarious.
See, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. I don't.
Does that mean just talking?
No.
Shooting the priest?
It's like a good time.
Oh.
It's like a good time.
Gotcha.
But the way I've heard it used is just, you know, it's not what I would expect. But, all right, the important thing is crack is like when the first time I heard it, like, someone came up to me and was like, hey, man, where's the crack? And I was like, what? I don't do that. That's not my thing. Like, I don't.
Like, offended that they would even ask you?
Like, I was like,
why are you asking me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't.
Do I seem like that kind of person to you? Like, it's offensive.
And then someone was like, oh, me and the boys were having a bit of crack. And I'm like, what is going on? Is crack just like this, like, pervasive thing in Ireland where it's like, it's just like commonplace?
Well, I know, and this is something that I have said ironically before.
Yeah.
Say, do I use British slang? Only ironically.
Uh-huh.
In like an overblown British accent.
Yeah.
To be funny. Mm. You're like, well, then let's crack on. Right?
Yeah.
Because they love to say that. So that's probably that's sort of related.
Yeah.
To like crack, like where's the crack? Like where are people doing things?
I don't know, man.
Like let's continue doing things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I would never do it to just one of our friends, you know, who I hang out with a lot of Irish guys and I think it's funny. And
yeah.
especially in a mixed group of Europeans and Americans, it's a bit of fun. You know something that's really funny?
What?
People from Ireland, Wales, Scotland, just over there, they don't consider themselves to be European.
Oh yeah, they'll get offended if you say they're European.
Yeah, yeah. Like that, all of that is Europe to us, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, I'm not European. I'm Irish, and I'm like, what? But you're European as well, you know. Like that's how that works. I'm like, no, it's not.
So I'm reading. Okay, so I'm reading here. Crack, noun. It means news/ what's up.
Yeah.
So what's the crack or where's the crack?
Yeah.
Term originated in England, moved to Northern Ireland, back to England. It's been back and forth, blah, 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 for hundreds of years. Got that. Either way, it's pretty popular now, and it means to start up a conversation or inquire about news, gossip, or anything that falls in between.
It's pretty vague.
It's very vague. Very, very vague. Other ones, chuffed.
Chuffed, okay.
Do you know what that means? I know this one from Gavin from Mr. Teeth.
I've heard chuffed before.
Yeah.
I couldn't give you a definition.
Pleased.
Yeah.
Pleased. Oh, I'm not chuffed. It means I'm pleased about that. That's good. That's good news. Whatever. Being pleased with yourself. Why not? If you've done a job well done, why not stand proud? The original meaning was termed puffed with fat. As in having a big head. However, if someone else is patting on the back, they could say, I'm chuffed for you. This is a pretty common one. I feel like Bear Grylls brought this one. Knackered.
Oh, knackered, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, kip.
Bit of kip.
Yep. To nap.
Yep.
To nap or to sleep.
Having a wee bit of kip.
Yeah. This is one of my favorites that I don't feel like a lot of Americans know. Minging.
Minging. I've heard that one.
You know what that is? It's this site says foul or ugly. But yeah, it's about right. It can also I've heard lots of British people use it interchangeably with whinging.
Yeah.
Which kind of means to like complain about something
okay.
in an obnoxious way. Like what are you minging about?
Mm-hmm.
And minging. I've also heard minging. Is just like it's gross.
Mm.
Like socks that have you like been wearing for 3 days. This would be like some well minging socks. Yeah. Let's see. A lot of them are gross. Just straight up. They don't really care about vulgarity like we do. I've never heard this. Radg, RADGE. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce that.
I've never heard that one.
It's
either.
A crazy person.
Okay.
Acting like a Radg. Let's see here. Means mad. Okay. So mad is used lovingly, like oh he's mad or you're being mad. But if someone says Radg, it's like no, you're actually like you're a crazy person.
Okay.
It's like actually kind of it's like insulting. Row, argument, mm-hmm. having a row. That means you're like.
Is that oh, European?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let's see here. I've never ever heard this one before. Treacle. I don't know. TRECLE. Sweetheart, sugar, sweetheart. It's in term of endearment for a good-looking woman. Depends on who it's coming from. If your lad says it and gives you a squeeze, it's a nice thing. If you're it's said on the street, it's not necessarily endearing.
Treacle. Ugh.
Treacle? Treacle? Either one sounds pretty gross to me.
It It's not a very nice sounding word.
And then the last one here is waffle. Stop waffling about and get to the point. I feel like we use that too. To waffle about.
Yeah.
We wouldn't say it quite like that, but like, what did you have to say about it? Well, you kind of waffled around for a little bit and finally, you know, landed on this point or that point.
Yeah.
I would use that. But yeah, they have way better words for stuff. Way better.
I don't know. Kaken's pretty cool.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's stupid.
It's lovely.
It's stupid. Mm-hmm. Our slang is stupid. I still hold to that. I wonder if people feel like their slang is stupid. Like people who live in England are like, mm-hmm. I thought that's so ridiculous. You know?
I feel like Europeans wouldn't admit that their slang is stupid to us.
That's absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
That's accurate. Well. I'm out of stuff.
You're out of stuff?
Yeah.
What about this Huawei nonsense? I don't know how to say there.
Huawei?
Huawei.
Say it, Huawei.
Huawei.
A lot of people call it Huey, so at least you didn't say that. We're like, do you guys have any Huey phones? Like, oh my word. You've been disqualified. You've been voted off the island. Huey. No, it's okay. Huawei.
Huawei.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing to remember. China is a communist country, right? We all know that. Even a child will know that. But what is confusing is the fact that in the past 10 years or so, they've really sort of become at least what looks like more capitalist society, yeah. Right? Where you can go over there, or if you're a Chinese person, you can like start a business and you can have your own business and you can make a fortune for yourself and you can – it's capitalist more so now than it has been. Here's the catch and here's what people don't understand. If I build a huge phone company from nothing in China, the government still technically owns it and can do whatever they want. And they can make me do whatever they want.
Yeah, the government gets a board chair, right? Something like that.
I don't know how it works – from a technical aspect,
yeah.
But I know that like it's a huge problem in Africa right now, mm-hmm. where like Chinese mining companies will go in and they'll outbid their competitors, European competitors and American competitors, mining companies, and it doesn't matter if they're taking a loss on the contract because the Chinese government is saying go in there and get this contract because from a national point of view, we want China in this place doing this thing. Mm-hmm. For national reasons. And so they're also being propped up by the Chinese economy. So if they lose money on that, the Chinese government will give that back to them,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be fine. They'll be, you know, just continue on, whatever. So when there's like a media company or a phone company or an electronics company, you have to really be careful because obviously the Chinese government has an agenda. Okay. That agenda is, I don't want to say world domination because that just sounds like an evil, like not real thing.
It sounds nefarious.
But honestly, China believes, the leadership in China right now believes that they're on their way to being number one, the number one power in the world,
mm-hmm.
and to spreading their influence and to making the world a more Chinese place and subjugating the world financially and then ultimately actually subjugating the world. Okay, this is not a made up thing. This is, you can research it, like it's real. So when you are buying a phone from them, like that you have in your pocket all day every day, that's where a lot of those concerns come from.
Mm-hmm.
Is yes, it's a phone that's made by just a Chinese company,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, how far does that influence go? Are they doing things they shouldn't be, etc. And then it was suspected that especially Huawei was doing some really nefarious things with their technology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was ever proved. Here's the problem. They wouldn't let people in there to inspect and they wouldn't like disprove it.
Mm-hmm.
So that finally the majority of the West, America especially, the United States especially, just pulled the company. You can't buy a Huawei phone now.
Yeah.
ZTE, same thing, Chinese company.
Yeah.
Remember the ZTE phones?
Yep.
Can't buy those anymore. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Because we just don't know. Like, it's when you're dealing with, like, microprocessors and stuff, it's almost impossible. It would be almost impossible to know if there's something going on at that point, where there was a backdoor or whatever.
Yeah.
Science fiction kind of stuff, you know? And when those companies refuse to be transparent and open, and when those companies refuse to allow investigators or investigations, you know, basically not even the companies, but the Chinese government refused. We just pulled them. Just pulled them.
Yeah.
So. Yep. It's a weird world we live in.
Okay.
It's a weird world we live in. It's, there's a lot of people who are, I think it's part of human nature that, like, every single culture thinks that they are the best culture that's ever been, and that they should be in charge of everything. All the way back to Rome, Napoleon, anybody, any of those, any major group from time immemorial, you know? Mm. And we believe that too. America believes that. Totally. Absolutely. Like, almost every single person listening to my voice right now is like, you know what? If they would just let us run X, Y, and Z, like, it'd be so much better.
Oh, we do it the best.
Exactly.
We definitely do it the best.
Exactly. So, and then China feels the same way.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they? Like, if you were born in China and you grew up in China and you live there, like, that's, of course you would think that. And you're just like, you got, it's almost like, I remember this weird thing happening to me where I was like 14 and I stepped onto a soccer field. Mm. And it was sunny day. I was feeling good. Mm. And we just, like, got our butts kicked. Mm. And it was a weird thing to me because I knew that I was really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I felt good. I was fast. I was pretty good at soccer too. Mm-hmm. And the guys who I played with were pretty good at soccer. And it was a weird thing to think about. The other team is just as good, if not better, and wants to win just as badly as you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird realization that you have to have at some point in your life.
Okay.
I feel like sports is a great way to experience it because it's a very benign, no consequences way to experience that. You know what I mean? Like, if you lose a sports game, it stinks and it's a bummer, but like, you go on with your life.
You're going to lose a sports game. If you don't lose a sports game, you never won. You never competed against
anyone. Exactly. You never really competed.
Yeah.
Right. So, but like, the same is true with world powers. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody out there wants it just as much as you do. Yeah. Everybody's just as smart as you are, just as fast, if not smarter or faster. Like, it's a real possibility that you can lose as a country, as a culture, as a society, whatever. Economically or philosophically, like, it's absolutely possible to lose always.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird feeling. It's a weird realization to come to where you, like, I don't know, just like watching news from another country. Like, if you just watch, like, Al Jazeera, or if you just watch, like, a translated, like, Chinese news broadcast, you're just like, what? It's like, what is he? It's like another planet. And to them, we're another planet, and they can easily beat us.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Yeah.
Quicker than you think, too. Like, mm-hmm. 10 years. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if the right things go wrong, or if the right things go right, or whatever.
Depending
on which side you're on. Yeah. Absolutely. The bottom falls out of somebody's economy, and gotta borrow a bunch of money, or, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Whatever it is. You know, you get caught spying in such and such place, and provocations escalate and end up with, like, carpet bombing across, like, whatever. Like, it happens. It's absolutely happened, like, over and over and over and over and over again throughout history. You know? It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to think about. And it's kind of like a line from a television show. Like, people's minds aren't built for problems that large.
Yeah.
Like, your everyday, just regular person is just, like, it's almost impossible to comprehend that.
Most people just don't, you know?
So yeah.
I got $50 in my bank account. And you're like, yeah!
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. Well, yeah. I got a little blurb.
Okay, go ahead.
So, been playing Assassin's Creed, bunch of it, far too much probably. A lot of playing going on.
Accurate.
In this house.
Accurate.
I just finished Origins, and I still got like some stuff. I'm still probably gonna crawl through the world a little bit. There's some pyramids that need to be spelunked. Mm. Started Odyssey. They're coming out with another Assassin's Creed game where they're going back even further.
Really?
Yeah.
What region of the world?
It's going to be basically Africa, but like Neogene Africa is how they phrase it.
What?
I think that's you know how like the continents were like closer together,
yeah,
or they were shaped a little differently.
Yeah.
I think they're going back to like that time, you know. So it's gonna be like a survival game, you know. Like 10 million years ago. So it's going to be a lot of it's going to be speculation, you know?
Right.
Apparently they've been working on it for a while and they want to show it. They've almost switched to like let me show you what the world is like at that point in time.
Yeah.
Type of game.
You know?
Running around like ancient Egypt and the Sinai Peninsula and stuff like that was really, really cool. And I feel like the Greek world is even bigger, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's one here that says Assassin's Creed Dynasty. Mm. It's an open world, the entire ancient China.
That I was wondering if they were going to do that or not, and that is one ancient world place that would be really, really cool, because you could go back if you just went back as far as like Marco Polo and all that stuff.
Yeah,
it'd be super, super fascinating. The great Khans and like all these different Chinese emperors. The Khans tried to invade Japan and stuff like that. And were rebuffed. Japan was, I think, solidifying itself as a nation at that point. So there's some cool battle stuff going on there. A lot of moving parts.
There's also Legion, which looks like Rome. Assassin's Creed Legion.
See, I thought that after after Origins or Odyssey that they would go to Rome.
It would seem that makes more sense.
It would have seemed like a logical step to me to go from Origins to Rome, because one of the characters in there was Greek, and she went to Rome and like set up an Assassin's Creed little they call them bureaus there.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, especially after Origins, because that was like right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. These games are really good. And I think that, you know, it's for people who don't play a lot of video games or who don't play video games at all, maybe you're older and, or maybe you just don't own a console, whatever the case may be. The cool thing about these games is that they are immersive history. Specifically, the Assassin's Creed games are totally immersive history. Like this Assassin's Creed not Origins but Odyssey, like they're reconstructing Athens at like 400 BC. That is awesome to be able to run through Athens. And of course it's not exactly right, we don't know everything about it, but it's from what we do know. Yeah. That's what it would have looked like. Mm. It's awesome and it's beautiful and it's fun. And meeting people like Herodotus and Socrates and Hippocrates and all these like legendary.
All the other T's.
Yeah, that's true. All the other sort of like legendary, you know, going to Sparta, you know, at that time. This is during the Peloponnesian War. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I was really surprised when I heard about Odyssey. I was like, wow, they're tackling that. But they've done it. They really have. They they nailed it. It is awesome. And it's just fun. It's just really, really fun. It's easy to play. So, like, I'm not a huge video game person, but I'm pretty decent at it, I feel like. I don't struggle that much. I'm able to progress through it pretty easily. It's just awesome. It's a fun quasi-educational way to spend your time. Very quasi. I'm not saying this is like in place of schooling or anything, but it's a whole lot more so than like watching reality TV.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, just garbage TV. Like, to me, to be able to run around Athens, like ancient Athens, or run around ancient Sparta, whatever. You know what I mean? Is just way more interesting and way more fulfilling. Make decisions. That's another thing. Like, the decisions you make as you go along affects the outcome of the game, which kind of gives it this feeling of importance, which is fun in entertainment, because a lot of entertainment is so unimportant.
It's very passive.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So to have this feeling that, like, oh, man, I really got to think about what I'm going to do here, because, you know, depending on what I choose, we're not going to be able to do this or do that or whatever. So,
honestly, I think one of the coolest features that they did, they introduced it in Origins, was having your bird and just being able to fly around, like, the ancient world with from, like, an eagle's eye view and just, like, see what's going on. It's so cool to me.
Yeah, it's really great. Have you messed with the bird much in Odyssey?
No, not really. I've got an hour into the game, maybe.
Okay, gotcha. Well, the bird in Odyssey is even more powerful.
Yeah.
In terms of, there's not a distance limitation. You can just go wherever you want. So, you can also take photos with the bird. Mm. I don't know if you could do that in the other one or not, but. I have some pretty nice ones.
I just don't take very many photos.
I have some nice ones of, like, cities, mm-hmm. where you get up, like, way high, and then you, like, take a picture of the whole city. Mm. And it's really nice. So.
Yeah. Not a picture person. Not in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, not in my virtual life.
All right. Well, I think that's about all we've got this week. We'll get back with you next week. We've kind of been doing one episode a week. Mm-hmm. And I think that an occasional bonus episode might be the direction that we're headed. Because two episodes a week is really tough to keep up with.
Yeah.
Especially now that I have, like, a job where I have a schedule, mm-hmm. I think it'll be a lot easier. But whenever I was sort of just driving and doing all this crazy stuff, like, there was no schedule. And that made it really hard, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but now there's a schedule, hopefully we can just, like, get settled in and, but yeah. I want to make sure, going forward, I really want to make sure we get the Friday one every time, because as a podcast person myself, I love Friday podcasts because it gives you something to listen to over the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's always a bummer when you, like, open up your podcast app on Saturday and there's just nothing. And then you still have, like, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and you're just like, So I definitely feel that pain, and I want to make sure that we get our Friday one out. Yeah. But Tuesdays are rough. Tuesdays are busy for both of us, so we'll see. We'll see if that happens. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next week, whenever that is, Tuesday or Friday. And until then, stay soapy.
Aloha.